speak, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Under the theme found in today's Gospel lesson, and the theme you heard in the intro from Psalm 98, we meditate upon these words of that psalm, most similar to the Lord, a new song, for he has done marvelous things. And Jesus came to redeem. If you took time to read this little in your bulletin today, you will see it says many things, and I want this disclaimer put forth right now. I wrote that word, and the secretaries tried to interpret it, okay? The handwriting was not good. It was M-A-R-V, period, but they didn't get it. It's not their fault. It is mine. The Lord has done marvelous things in spite of handwriting. The marvelous things of the Lord are greater in number than mathematicians of men dare to count. They are more marvelous than our feeble minds can comprehend. He has called the galaxies into existence. He has set the planets on their course. He has established the infinite depth of all black holes. But so too, say some, as Zeus and Muhammad or Allah, at least according to those who imagine them. They claim to be creators, yet God breathed life into them. He created all the living. He taught the plants to grow. He carved the path of rivers and built mountains. But so too, say others of Zeus and Allah, of the great spirit or the great architect in the sky. And the devil whispers in our ear, see, all gods are the same. Any name will do. It matters not what you call him, so call him what you will. It doesn't really matter to him or to me. We, all of us, religious people, have more in common than separates us. Unity of all religions should be our highest goal. Can't we all just get along? But the devil always lies. The things of creation are marvelous, this is true, but they are not gracious. And so too, morality is good. Where the pagan agrees with you and God, thanks be to God. But neither is there grace in morality. Both creation and morality are not so different from what a man might imagine would interest a God. But you have been called upon today to repent of such thoughts, to put on your hips and in your hearts a new song. That new song is the God of Abraham has come in the flesh. He has come from Mary's womb. He is not imagined, nor is he in all ways like you and me. He has remembered his merciful mission. His right arm has gotten him the victory. He submitted to defeat and humility to break down death's door for you. He died and he rose again, and now he lives. Unlike any imaginary God fired in man's fantasies by demonic impulses, your God offered up his life in death to pay for the sins of those who rejected him. Your God died for you. That is the truth. And that is why he says he will send the Comforter to comfort you with that truth. For it is that truth, and only that truth, that sets you free. The love of God is a perfect love. It is a forgiving love. It reconciles sinners not only to the Father, but to each other. And it gives a song for the people. salvation, your strength, and your song. He has taken your sins and the sins of the world into his body. The accuser has been robbed of his greatest treasure, his accusations against you and your sins. Jesus died for you and crushed that liar's head. He let mankind kill him rather than send sinners to hell, where they go when they reject Christ. God's love is not fair, yet God is just and God is merciful. God is a God of wrath and a God of mercy. He is a God of gracious forgiveness, and he is a God who will send the sins of the fathers upon the third and fourth generations of them who hate him. So how are you to figure out this God? You must put on the lens of the cross, and then you can see clearly God's mercy and grace coming together there. And it is at the cross where you see the Father's wrath and his mercy towards sinners at one and the same time. But it is in the resurrection of Jesus where you learn that death no more has a claim upon you, because he not only took your place on the cross, he took your place into death. It is finished, he cried. Death is now empty, therefore. There is nothing left. And our Lord Jesus rose up out of the grave, alive in his body on the third day, reunited with his soul, the victor over hell. The grave did not and could not hold him. And the grave cannot hold you. Although at this time all evidence might point to the contrary, God has given you his word and his promise. And like unto his glorious resurrected body, your bodies will too be raised and perfected. And this is the most marvelous thing. This is not eternity with 79 virgins. This is eternity with God himself. And the resurrection and the crucifixion of Christ defines your God and gives you a new soul. Your Lord and the holy apostles call this psalm the gospel. Paul said it is the power of God unto salvation. And this power is the content of your psalm, because it is all about Jesus, and it is only about you as a recipient of his mercy and grace. Marvelous thing upon marvelous thing, he has ascended to the right hand of his Father, and he rules in the hearts of those who believe in him with perfect grace. They call him Lord and King. He who was once mocked now is worshipped, and from the Father's side Pharisees and chief priests came up to him and said, tell your disciples to stop all this racket and this singing and rejoicing. Do you remember what Jesus said? If they would not do this, my Father would raise up the rocks to do it. Now you don't have to have a perfect voice, because your song is sung not only with your lips, but with your life. Because Jesus has come to you by the power of the Spirit, you cannot help yourself. Your song springs up from the depths of your soul. Your joy overflows. You are forgiven. You are loved. Your lives now have purpose and meaning. The Spirit inspires you and puts His words through David upon your lips, and you sing the new song of redemption. Marvelous things indeed. God has intervened in the course of human affairs to bring about your salvation. He has burned Baal's prophets. He has scared the Canaanites into killing one another with nothing more than Gideon's name and some torches. He has caused the wheels to come off of Pharaoh's chariots and the waters to come crashing in around his army. He struck the temple guards who watched the tomb as though they were afraid. He broke the seal. He came through the door. He breathed upon all his apostles to deliver his Holy Spirit and the keys to heaven. Our Lord has taken care of all the details. He has missed nothing. Marvelous things. God has called you to be His. He has given you a spiritual mother. That mother breathed and birthed you through the bloody waters of the Jordan River from a baptismal font and made you clean by grace. She, this mother, has raised you in the fear of the Lord and taught you to pray. She has reminded you of your grandfather Abraham, your uncle Jacob, your distant kinsman Job. She brings you to the body and blood so that you might eat and drink for forgiveness, life, and salvation. She brings you there to sustain you for your labor and to steal you in your future. She is, of course, the church, the handmaiden of the Lord. And she serves you as her own dear child, for she is a holy Christian mother. And as all her daughters have been taught to do, she prays for you. For behold, the prayers of a righteous one avails much. So you must sing unto the Lord a new song, for He